personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Astree tackled the quarterback. He's giving him business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
Dal, I think I sent this in a group chat earlier this week, but the people listening will already know what I went with. But I'm so torn on what to use as the thumbnail for this week's episode now, because I had one made up. It was already there. It was the XFL championship game. It was our faces placed over the top as stickers on the Renegades and the DC Defenders to promote the, hey, you know, our two teams made it to the championship. How very fun. And then something slightly bigger happened.
Well, and I was also thinking I had to get a different picture. I mean, I'm a fat guy, but I swear I have a picture where I look less fat than what you continue to use.
It's the only one I've got.
I know. There's got to be one where I look a little less fat in it. Anyway, I was thinking about that.
I only just now noticed that the one that I use of me that doesn't have sunglasses on, that's just my sunglasses-less face where I'm kind of smirking, I missed a corner of neck when trimming my head out of, so there's just a, like, it looks like there's a streak coming off the, like I'm some sort of flying comet or something, because there's a bit of a triangle of neck that comes out the back end of the head.
Of course, the big thing you're talking about is the NHL draft lottery.
The draft lottery took place on Monday, and do you want to know about how excited I was for the, I whined numerous times, Dal. I kind of made the joke. I said, you know what? If the Blackhawks fall from, because everyone was, the consensus was, there's four players in this year's draft that all would have been the first overall pick last year. So they're like, as long as you're in the top four, you're getting a good player. And the Blackhawks are the third best. They were the third worst team. And I said, you know what? Yeah, everyone wants Bedard, because they're comparing this to like when LeBron James was coming out of high school in the NBA, and everyone knew for like 3 years that, all right, here in a couple of years, when LeBron is draft eligible, everyone's going to want to be that first overall pick. And we've known for 3 years now that Bedard was going to be draft eligible in 2023. And there was some talk, you know, about do we need to punish teams like Chicago, San Jose, Anaheim, who kind of did. You remember when Miami, like, did the most blatant tank job ever, but then didn't even do it successfully because their coach just simply couldn't lose that year, and everyone said, guys, we can't let Miami just do this. Well, people were talking about that for those three teams in the NHL, too. They're like, these guys, they're just trading all their players. Guys, do something. They're clearly tanking to go get Connor Bedard. Nothing happened, so all three of those teams end up at the top. But I said, if we fall to fifth or lower, I curse the draft lottery forever. It's the worst invention of mankind. If we go up, it's my favorite thing that's ever existed.
And not only did you go up.
No, I was just hoping to get one of those four. I didn't realize we were going to get Bedard. Holy crap. And not only did we get him, but as I was kind of hinting at earlier, my reaction to it, I had it on my TV in the living room. I'm kind of watching. And first of all, ESPN with the colossal screw up that was very hilarious of, they knew what all the results were in advance because the actual lottery takes place before the broadcast. And the gentleman who was the main announcer for the draft lottery from ESPN just kept on reading the teleprompter instead of realizing that he's supposed to pause and then a commercial break happens and then continue. And he just told everyone that Columbus was picking third before they got their card flipped.
Oh, so I didn't watch any of this.
Oh,
so.
Yes. Everyone was real conspiracy theorist about it on the internet immediately. Oh my goodness, the draft was rigged. It was rigged. They knew.
See, it's just like when people complain about refs and the people say refs are cheating or they're paid out. They're not good enough to cheat. Same thing with, they're not competent enough. Same thing with the people who run things like this. They're not good enough at being corrupt to keep that a secret.
And first of all, if it had been rigged, I know the argument people are making is, well, Chicago, it's a big market. They wanted a big market. First of all, Anaheim, are we just forgetting that that's Los Angeles?
Yeah.
That's a bigger city than Chicago. And second of all the scandals that have recently come to the news light in Chicago.
Yeah.
The NHL would not intentionally slap them as the new face.
In fact,
of the
a lot of people, or not a lot, I did read at least one article where the guy's like, I'm done with the NHL because the Blackhawks should not be allowed to have the top overall pick. They're being rewarded for being a terrible franchise, is basically what he's saying.
But yeah,
morally, not like on the ice.
Yeah. Though they were that last year.
They were both.
Yes. Well, actually, they were only one last year. They were the other one about 13 years ago. Yeah.
Oh, so, okay.
But anyhow, my reaction to them flipping the card over that had number one and it had our logo on it was so intense. Mackenzie came sprinting into the living room from the kitchen and said, what? And I said, Oh, sorry, the Blackhawks, they got the number one pick in the draft. We're getting, like, the greatest hockey prospect since Crosby or McDavid. And she goes, oh, my God, Aaron, I thought Max had, like, taken his first steps or something.
Oh, it's way bigger than that.
So that was funny. I tricked my wife into thinking that our son had, like,
to be fair,
solved cancer in our living room before my eyes from my reaction.
I'm a longtime Bulls fan. And the year that they got the number one pick and then they took Derrick Rose, that was, I remember watching, I was working late. I was actually here. And I remember celebrating because I'm like, they're not supposed to get this. They were, they bucked the odds. They were only had like a 1% chance or something. Well, and then they got it. And then obviously Derrick Rose turned out to be amazing, at least until he got broken.
Yeah.
And
we will not forget, though.
And that's the last time they've been relevant. But yeah, I know what it's like to celebrate once in a while to get that top pick. Yeah. Although, you know, my team does just good enough now to make sure that they don't advance in the playoffs and that they don't move up in the draft lottery. Nicely done.
So as we're kind of talking about that, first of all, and now we got Chicago fans kind of getting ahead of themselves. We're like, well, the Bears weren't the first pick in the draft until literally the last 30 seconds of Texans-Colts, and that landed us a Hall and DJ Moore, and then the Blackhawks weren't the first pick in the draft until our name got pulled in the lottery. Bulls, 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 Bulls. And, you know, so now that hype train has started. And then on top of that, next year, Caitlin Clark is coming out of the college draft, and for the three of us that care in any way, the Chicago Sky just lost Candace Parker. Maybe it's tank for Clark season. I don't know. Let's just keep as many Chicago teams as we can get. Getting that number one overall.
Sounds pretty greedy.
Generational. Let's all of them. How about, you know what, White Sox? We're starting to get hot again. Let's go ahead and, you know what, everyone's benched for the rest of the year. No more hot. Let's go back.
It's May. Yeah.
Bench everyone. Let's get that first pick in the draft, baby. Let's do it. Let's just get the whole.
I think you're selfish. How about that?
But talking about Bedard, I mean, you pull up clips of him. Now suddenly, you know, a few people on Twitter, a couple of analysts are trying to get some clickbait going. It's not going to work. They overthink, he is only 5'10". Maybe you draft, I forget his name now, the center from Michigan, University
me,
of Michigan. It was the consensus second pick in the draft, but he's 6'2" and he's 220 because, you know, he's a 22-year-old. He's a grown man. He's not 17. You know, there's a couple of the one weak spot in Bedard's game is he's only 5'10 and he's 185, so, you know. No. I mean, he's going number one overall. 143 points in 57 games in the WHL last year. And then you kind of think, oh, well, that's minor leagues, whatever. What does that really translate? Well, okay, then he played in the World Juniors, which is essentially the amateur Olympics. But, you know,
the Olympics are supposed to be the amateurs.
Which is what the Olympics used to be until they let NHLers play in it. Went to the World Juniors, competed against the best of the best from every country in the world, excluding NHL contracted players, including some former NHL players that actually participated in it this year. Seven games, captain of Team Canada. He's 17. They named him the captain of Team Canada, the hockey country. They won gold. He played seven games. In seven games, he scored 9 goals and got 14 assists. Ooh. 23 points in 7 games.
That's ridiculous.
In the World Juniors. He put the team on his back, Dow.
I know you're excited, and you should be. I'm not here to downplay it, other than he really is just a kid.
He is just... And I did find it funny. People were making fun of him for this. I think it's funny. Because he's 17. We make a huge deal about it because he's on TV and you think of any... the same way we treat kind of college superstars in America. We're like, we're making fun of like the quarterback from Auburn and it turns out he's like some 19-year-old or something. And it always is funny to me. 17, they ask him on air. They're like, you know, we all know about your hockey acumen. You come from a hockey family. You eat, sleep, and breathe the sport. Well, we don't really know a lot about you off ice. You know, what's something you love to do outside of the rink? And he starts his sentence to answer the question with, well, hockey related, I really like to... I think he was talking about he likes to go rollerblading in his free time because it helps him with his balance. And he likes to ski. But he literally starts the sentence with, well, hockey related, to a question where someone literally asked him, what do you like to do outside of hockey?
Maybe there isn't anything.
And he's like, what do you mean outside of hockey? I don't understand the question.
Well, it's sort of like that commercial that's going on with the NHL playoffs and the guy's holding his baby. And he's like, he's only 6 months old. It's like, well, maybe it's not for him. It's like, it's too late. Already too late. So, yeah, you're giddy. You're happy.
Though, I must say, the internet is not.
Is it ever?
I don't know if you've taken a casual stroll through other hockey fans right now, but as you kind of hinted at with the whole Kyle Beach situation, no one likes this. They all think the first round pick should have been suspended. They don't like us for the fact that obviously we're kind of in the same pantheon right now as Pittsburgh. Tampa's not really as hated as we were. Maybe it's because they're from Florida and they don't have obnoxious fans because they only have like 8 fans to begin with.
It's Florida. Yeah. How downtrodden could you be?
But one of the more hated fan bases for having won 3 cups in recent memory. So yeah, the Penguins, the Blackhawks, kind of hated franchises anyway, just for that. And then yeah, the Kyle Beach situation, where the Chicago Blackhawks in 2010 swept under the rug the fact that the video coordinator for the Blackhawks had been sexually assaulting a player named Kyle Beach, who was somewhat of a bench player, but on the team. And then it came out that the reason for that was the GM came to Joel Quenneville and said, hey, your video coach was accused of this. And Quenneville's response reportedly was telling the GM, well, then fire him, but don't go public with this because we're trying to win a Stanley Cup right now. We don't need distractions, which is... you know, objectively an evil stance to take on that. You know, I get it. You're trying to win, but it doesn't sound great.
I don't know if I'd call it evil. It's certainly ignorant.
Yeah.
If you've never dealt with anyone or been close to anyone where anything like that has happened to them, that's a pretty calloused opinion. That's not very human behavior.
Yeah, and that's why Joel Quenneville, who is, by the way, the Florida Panthers head coach in the middle of the season a year ago when all this broke and got fired immediately and is still not... I mean, he's the second winningest coach in NHL history. He doesn't have a job right now.
Oh.
You know, because of this.
Maybe don't be an ass.
That's what I'm saying.
Get a job again.
So, you know, that's kind of the big deal that this is that even teams that are super desperate aren't even going to look at Quenneville now because they're like, you know what? We'd rather just be losing.
Well, there's something to be said for, do you want this type of negative attention or even just attention in general
or
on your coming at your franchise every day? And I mean, let's be honest, people have not hired people for less.
I was going to say professional sports. Even not just the attention thing. We can maybe go down the path and assume that maybe some of these teams are just good, moral, upstanding people that are just like, well, I just don't want to reward him with a job.
Yeah, that's possible. Part of it.
However, I keep having to say this to so many people. Like, why do they get draft picks? How come they got to pick at all? The general manager, the team president, the coach, every coach, every player, every single one of them that was involved in that in any capacity is gone.
If you're clamoring for it now, it's because your team had a chance to be the overall pick and
exactly.
You didn't get it. That's what's going on.
Really, what you're calling for is that the logo should be punished, I guess, because no one is still there.
I've said that before. Why do they get to keep theirs?
Mostly because we receive money from the Illinois Illini Association.
It's bull crap.
We actually get money from the Native American
Association
of Illinois.
Meanwhile, all the rednecks in Kansas City get to keep doing the tomahawk chop.
I don't know if Kansas City gets paid for theirs.
I'm just saying. There's different sets of rules.
Well, ours is definitely a different set of rules, and I've already mentioned it three times, but, you know. The fact that there are actually a Native American group in Illinois that pays the Blackhawks for the notoriety and to partner with them on a yearly basis.
And I don't like their logo. Why is he's got a stupid grin on his face.
He's happy that he just won three cups in 5 years. That's 6 years.
That's stupid. He should be stoic. The Washington one was so much better. Anyway.
But yeah, so the draft happened. There was a whole situation. It's a massive controversy around the sport. However, end of the day, the Chicago Blackhawks are, I'm going to say hopefully, this is one of the rare times when, you know, we just talked about the NFL draft. I will say this about hockey, which is why I'm so giddy right now. Hockey is odd in that when you get like those top three guys in any draft, it's arguably the rarest bust sport.
Yeah,
with those
top
guys. Most of the time, those surefire, oh, I know that's the guy. He just ends up being the guy. You don't really get many Ryan Leafs in hockey. And then it flips. And right about like pick six through the rest of them, it becomes arguably the biggest crapshoot of any sport.
They're all the same.
And I don't know what's up with that in hockey. But yeah, you desperately want... You're like, I want the guy that everyone knows there in like the top five. Because then after that, I'm just rolling dice and hoping that I get someone.
Speaking of bad luck along the hockey lines, Gabriel Landeskog announced yesterday for the Avalanche he is going to miss yet another season. Missed this whole last season. They got punched out early. Certainly he was a big part of that as far as not being quite as good as the Stanley Cup iteration. And now he's going to miss all next season too. The 23-24 season needs a cartilage transplant. I haven't even heard of that. I've heard of a lot of surgeries for sports. I've never even heard of that one that doesn't sound good. He's 30, so he's still right in his prime, but that's not good. It's not good for the Avs, certainly not good for him and his personal career because, you know, who knows if he's going to be able to come all the way back. But, yeah, they're definitely going to miss him like they did this last year.
Yeah, and obviously kind of rolling with that. We're talking about the NHL. We're talking about the draft. We're talking about the Avalanche. Have you been keeping up with much of this NHL playoffs since the Avs got knocked?
Not nearly as much, just because, yeah, that was the team I was paying attention to. Although I did see, I was kind of pulling for the Maple Leafs to win that first round series, which they eventually did.
Not looking great
and
now.
And now they're in deep trouble. Again, the Panthers, who arguably shouldn't even have been in the postseason, they're on the verge of going to the conference.
They're giant
finals.
Killers.
So that's been kind of fun. And then, yeah, I've been watching just results, really, of Dallas and the Kraken, just because I'm like, I still think Colorado's better than either one of them.
I mean, to be honest, the two best overall teams are probably both were round one eliminations.
Yeah, Bruins and the Avalanche.
And this is kind of why we like people talk about, even people that don't watch hockey sometimes will uniformly all just nod their head in agreement. Well, oh yeah, the saying, you know, the NHL has the best playoffs in pro sports. Yeah. Well, this is why. It's incredibly unpredictable. Even with a 7-game series, that in most sports, when you play a series to determine the champion, yeah, the cream, better team usually wins.
The cream is supposed to rise to the top over a 7-game series.
Yes, and in hockey, you know what? Sometimes it's just whoever's better for the playoffs wins the playoffs. They don't have to be the better team. And they,
yeah, whoever's hotter at the time.
Sometimes they even just get hot in the playoffs.
Yeah, chemistry-wise, who knows? You know, let's be honest. It's still a game where you have to get this little puck into that little net.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I go back to game 7 of the Avalanche and the Kraken in the opening round. Colorado comes out and just absolutely just blitzes Grubauer, the keeper for the Kraken. Mm-hmm. At least two of them.
Who used to play for the Avs.
Right. At least two of them should have gone in, and they didn't. And then later on, another couple should have got. Well, guess what? That's the thing with these net sports, as I'm going to call them, soccer and hockey. Sometimes you don't get what you think you deserve, and then meanwhile, the other team gets a lucky goal, which they did. Went off the wrist of one of the Rockies, or not Rockies, the Avalanche players. Might as well be a Rockies player. And then, anyway, they were never able to square that two-goal deficit that happened early, even though I feel like over the course of the game, they outplayed the Kraken big time. Guess what? It doesn't matter. You lost. Mm-hmm. And it was game 7, and now you're done. And so, yeah, there's definitely it doesn't seem like home ice means nearly as much either. At least it hasn't recently, but, yeah.
It can, depending on the team. But yeah, recently it kind of feels like the teams that do play really well at home, like they're split home versus road, don't feel like they've been powerhouses as of late. I know obviously Detroit is one of those teams, plays awesome at
even
home.
Teams
Chicago
that are good
plays
at home.
Awesome at home.
I mean, even teams that are good at home. That first round, I mean, Boston and Colorado, their home records were stellar.
Well, Boston's record everywhere was pretty stellar.
But I'm just saying, and then you're done. Yeah. And the same thing happened this year in the NBA. The number one seed in the East, Milwaukee, they're out. They got beat in the first round. And now the Celtics are on the ropes. They're down 3-2 with a road game coming up in Philly tomorrow on Thursday. So maybe it's just the year, too. Sometimes it just doesn't matter as much.
Yeah, and obviously the NBA playoffs have been having a bit of their more fun iteration. And, of course, it had to come the one year that all the most hateable, usual teams that are always good are now the underdogs. And we're like, oh, okay, so we don't have to worry about Golden State and the Lakers this year. And then oopsie daisies, turns out this is the year that 8-6 seeds are allowed to win. Ooh.
Well, and it's just, yeah, it's kind of been gross.
Yeah, I desperately need Denver to win the West. I need Denver to win the West so bad.
I would like that. And then I'll be honest, I've kind of had the underdog blood boiling for the Miami Heat, and I hate Miami, but at least, you know, they barely made the postseason, and yet here they are.
It is hilarious too that normally
about to knock off the Knicks.
Aren't you supposed to? It's like the unwritten rule: a player leaves your team, you have to root against him so that your team doesn't look bad.
And see, I've never been that way with Jimmy Butler. You can't do that with Jimmy Butler. He's too likable. I've always been annoyed at Garpax for letting him go.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, you guys screwed. They screwed up so much stuff.
Let's just say that you would have been able to get all of it because they're all still playing. So let's just pretend. Let's live in a fantasy land. You still get all of them. You imagine how much better the Bulls would have been with LaVine, DeMar, and Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
Maybe even broken down Derrick Rose just for the morale to get fans in seats.
That's called what they refer to in Talking Headland as a big three. Something the Bulls have not had. Yeah.
I'm still counting broken down Derrick Rose in my fantasy.
You're assuming he ever would have come back. I don't know. But I just, anyway, it was, yeah, that was a stupid decision. But yeah, the NBA playoffs have been helter-skelter. I mean, even that Denver series where it seems like Denver is the better team, one of those games, Nikola Jokic had 53 points and they lost.
Did you
see? So, I mean, it's, you just don't know.
Did you see he just passed Wilt for on the all-time list for centers for triple-doubles for a career?
Wow.
And he asked in the post-game interview, He said, oh, I did not realize I did that. That's very cool. Is Shaq also on the list?
Just asked. No.
And Shaquille O'Neal in the postgame then said, nah, I never passed. He then called him Big Honey. He said, no, I never passed Big Honey. So I guess that's now Nikolai's
That's a pretty good
nickname.
One.
He's that's Big
pretty,
Honey now.
That's pretty good. But he is such a unique player because seriously, you could name 200 people in the NBA more athletic than him easily. It's just, and yet what he goes out and does, he's like a dominant beer league player. He comes up with these just really unique shots that go in. Obviously his passing skills are top notch. But and his shooting, I mean, but he is more than the sum of his parts.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas some people, it's like, wow, he jumps through the gym, and then they try and work the game off of that. He's really not that athletic. I've seen him kind of stumble and fall in certain ways. I'm like, that's how I fall. I'm like, that's not athletic.
Doesn't matter if ball goes through hoop.
But anyway, I'm just saying. He's fun to watch. I think we have to touch on the whole sideline thing with him and the Phoenix owner Ishbia.
I know you've seen it because I think you retweeted it. But someone made the WWE video game edit.
Yeah,
of new leaked sideline.
Yeah, I did, and it shows Jokic like flinging this guy like beyond the seats. That's not what happened. If anything, first off. Jokic was fined $25,000, which I don't even know what he makes, but that's like...
And the Suns owner actually apologized for the interaction.
Which he should have.
And he said, I'm sorry about that. And then they asked him, you know, there was talk about should...
And he said, no, I don't think anybody should be.
Should be suspended. And
he
said,
should be fined
no.
too, though. And yeah. The reason why I say that is he should know better.
Mm-hmm.
And if he was a normal fan, in fact, there was a normal fan in that whole thing that got booted. And I assume he's not welcome back for a year or something like that. Now, I understand it's the owner. You're not going to boot him for a year for what he did. That'd be too much. But you know what? Maybe you ought to say, you know, if you're going to do... To me, this is what I saw. They kind of go into that first row. Ishbia, the owner for the... I might be mispronouncing his name, too. It could be Ishbia. I'm just saying... But he has the ball, mm-hmm. and he kind of is doing keep away. I mean, it's just for a second,
mm-hmm.
but that is not cool. You're not supposed to, and that's what Jokic's point was. You're not supposed, he's like, he's a fan right there. He's not the owner, he's a fan. And you're not supposed to impact the flow of the game at all. So not only does he keep the ball away from him, but there's physical contact.
Mm-hmm.
So then people make the big deal. Well, Jokic kind of forearms it. Okay, first off, where's Africa? Where's that guy from? These guys from these Slavic countries. If he wanted to break that guy in half, he would. If he wanted to throw him like on the WWE video game redo, he would. He's huge. He's a huge human being.
And honestly, I think the fact that there's still like controversy among fans. We've talked about this in other altercations.
Anyway, let me just tie this up. I feel like Ishbia should have been, if not fined, then he should have been made to use his position to bring more security or thought to the idea that players deserve a little more peace of mind when they're doing their job.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you and I are doing our job,
yep,
and somebody came over and took our stuff and was kind of playing keep, we don't have any recourse. Luckily, other than say, hey, a-hole, give me my stuff back.
We have to throw one of the camera ops at him.
I just feel like what he did was wrong from a fan standpoint, and then the fact that he's an owner of one of the teams,
mm-hmm.
I feel like he... said the right things afterwards, because I don't think anybody should have been suspended. The fine is negligible. I mean, that's probably what Jokic makes in a quarter. $25,000. I mean, we could Google it, but I just feel like Ishbia didn't get called out enough for his role in that, is my point.
Yeah, probably. And it would be so easy for the NBA. They were handed a golden ticket to do it, too, to maybe slap him with a tiny little fine just to send a message. Because he was so apologetic and did literally say, yeah, it's my bad, I did it. Like, the one thing that the leagues normally hesitate on punishing owners, is that the owners all have stock in the league.
Sure.
And you're afraid of pushback. You already know you're not going to get pushback. You could probably, you know what, and you're also fined $25,000. And I'm sure at this point, considering his reaction, he'd go, oh, you know what, that's fair, here you go.
I guess, like, I'm making too big a deal out of this. Because let's be honest, it wasn't a big deal. It shouldn't even have been a thing.
Yeah.
And it's not a thing. But what I'm saying is if you're going to sit that close,
mm-hmm.
you give up your rights as an owner. You're a fan. If you want to be the owner, go up in the owner's box. Guess what? There's not going to be any players in there. The ball's not going to bounce into your owner's box. You're not going to have any interaction with any of the players unless you say,
put a hoop up there and Steph might give it a shot.
I'm just saying he needed to be called out a little more in that situation than he was. And I'll leave it at that.
And kind of another little side story here. We all remember when everyone pointed out that no team had ever won after being down 3-1 in the NBA Finals. Warriors, Cavs, that whole ordeal, and the LeBron photo and the sunglasses. Awesome. So now ESPN comes out and tweets out, LeBron James is 17-0 in series where he has a 3-1 lead. Good work, ESPN. So now we got Warriors and we got LeBron.
All I know
and we have the exact same stupid tweet from ESPN.
So I saw, and you know, sometimes these things don't mean anything. But you brought it up, so I'm going to follow up with it. Sometimes you see animals picking games.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently there's a corgi, the dog.
Yes.
That the owner throws the ball up in like a stairwell.
Mm-hmm.
The corgi hits it with his nose. It bounces off a wall, and it bounces in one of the two baskets. And each basket has the team's logo on it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this corgi has been 100% correct. And in this series is 100% correct to this point. However, the rest of this sequence says Warriors in 7. So in other words, the predicting corgi says that the Warriors are going to win out, mm-hmm. and eliminate the Lakers in 7, even though they're down right now. And
it'll be interesting.
And
to watch.
I am so interested. I haven't been this interested in animal related punditry since it was the World Cup and there was an octopus in some country doing it, and it successfully like picked all the winners of the World Cup, and people were flipping out. And I'm just like, first off, the corgi is much cuter than that octopus. I remember its name, but
I bet it can't take a jelly jar lid off. Ugh. As easy as the octopus.
I don't know.
Can.
That's they're just so. I've eaten octopus, the deep fried version, or what else? Squid, same thing. Calamari. It's you could eat a deep fried doorstop and it's fine. So people are like, well, yeah, I eat it and it's pretty good. It's like, no, it's not. Seriously, you could deep fry anything and eat it and tell yourself it's okay. Yeah. Which I've done. I've had Rocky Mountain oysters that way. So anyway, I'm intrigued to see if the corgi is correct, especially now that you have told me about this tweet.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a little bit of full circle revenge? In fact, I'd be all for it if not for Draymond Green, who is a piece of crap.
Yeah.
You know what? That's too far. He's not a piece of crap. He's just highly unlikable.
Mm-hmm.
Unless he's on your team. I've seen him do tons of cool stuff.
I do always appreciate, because I've both had and been against such...
Joakim Noah. People used to hate him. I loved him on the Bulls.
I was going to say, I'm like, you know who would have been through, and we're going to go back to hockey, I guess, for a second, but you know who I always used to tell people, I'm like, if Andrew Shaw was on any team except the Blackhawks, he would be my least favorite player in the entire NHL because he's such a little punk. He was like, I mean, he was 190 pounds soaking wet, and all he would do is just pester and pester and talk and chirp and annoy, knowing full well that if anyone was going to come after him, he's like, oh, well, then Oduya will just come over here and take care of you. I'm not going to do it myself.
I do.
But it was so fun as a Blackhawk.
I do feel like I have to clean this up a little bit, just in case Draymond does ever come on the show. He's not a piece of crap. That was way too far. I hate his in-game antics. He yells, he screams, he complains. I think he should get teed up more than he does. But I've also seen videos like where he goes back to Michigan State and does like incredibly philanthropic stuff. And so he's probably a really quite a nice guy. But I hate his on-court antics for the Warriors. I hate him.
He also has a really terrible beard.
Well, I'm not like, going to, I can't judge a man for that, but.
Like, just trim it a little, Draymond. Why do you trim more of your cheek down than you,
why
than
can't
you trim
you,
from the neck up?
Why do you judge him on his beard trimming?
You need to.
No, that's not fair. He doesn't listen, so I'm going to say, my son has a terrible beard.
I used to make fun of, like, my friends and I used to give each other crap all the time whenever we'd have, like, real patchy beards in high school.
And my boys is not far out of
it. I'm hoping that if Draymond Green ever did get a hold of this podcast and heard this, that this wouldn't single-handedly ruin his day or anything. If it does, I apologize. I doubt it would ruin his day.
I'm actually more I'm more concerned he'd come and
ruin mine,
beat me into the ground. I guess I would view that as potential retirement. You know, I don't need that much.
And then, you know, we were just talking about SportsCenter, ESPN with that tweet. ESPN ending up on a Twitter account that you and I will hope to go our entire lives never seeing, but it's called, oh, what was it called? It was like announcers doing horrible things or something.
Awful announcing?
Awful announcing, that's what it is.
I think I follow them, actually.
ESPN, first of all, for the blunder during the draft lottery, giving away who the third pick was going to before that aired. Good work. But then also, first of all, big news from the Oakland A's. I don't know if you saw that whole ordeal. The A's were playing the Kansas City Royals, and on the Oakland A's specific broadcast, their own personal team announcer gave a between innings. You know, they come back from commercial, and he starts talking about, you know, and it's been a great weekend here in Kansas City. You know, what, you know, and he starts listing all the things he did. We went to the museum of whatever it was. We got some barbecue. We then went to the museum of what he meant to say was the Negro Leagues Museum.
Oh, tell me.
Oh, he said an N-word, all right.
Tell me he didn't say the other one.
Oh, he went hard R.
Oh.
On the Oakland A's broadcast.
How can you? Okay.
And I mean,
I had not heard this.
Oh, yeah, that took place, I believe, on Monday. And not only did he just, like, say it, like, normally a white person says that word, and there's almost sort of a hesitation or a wince.
He just threw it out
there. I mean, he just says it and he keeps going. Like, he says it every other sentence. Oh, it was almost funny to a certain extent.
Wow.
Yeah, he got fined. He's currently suspended. No word on if they're going to be
done.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say this. I'm not perfect. I know that comes as a huge shock. And I've said things out loud I wished I hadn't. Even on the air, nothing like that. But that is a word that if you're using it in a casual way, you're using it in a casual way somewhere else in your life too.
Like,
and that tells me more than I need to know. The reason I'm throwing that out there, I have two African-American nephews. They are actually African-American. And what I mean by that is they are from the continent of Africa, from Ethiopia specifically, because Africa is not a country. It's a continent.
Unless it's the South.
That's South Africa, which is also a country.
Yes. That was my whole joke. That was it.
That wasn't funny.
It was just a little dad joke.
Oh, okay. Dad joke. That's okay. I'll buy that. But I will say that, and I'm not going to sit here and act like I have been you know, Mr. Informed in my life growing up with people, with African-Americans, because let's be honest, I live in honestly one of the whitest places on the planet. I mean, we are mayonnaise white here in Western Wyoming. That's just mainly because, one, we're all Scandinavians, and two, we never see the sun. So it's just how it is. So yeah, to hear somebody throw that out there and then have it just be, like I said, like casual, it's just, and I'm all for free speech. In fact, I hate limiting words except for that. That's the one word I think in the English language we can go ahead and afford to lose. Go ahead and lose it. We don't need to use it. It's gone. I just, wow, that's awful. Awful.
Yeah. And then kind of in a...
It's a hurtful, hurtful word.
In a similar, not quite the same, but very similar vein, on ESPN, they're doing the SportsCenter Top 10, and they're breaking down number 6. It was White Cloud, and I forget his first name, the defenseman for the Vegas Golden Knights, who happens to be the first ever Native American NHL player. And they're talking about his goal he scored to make it 4-1 over Edmonton the other day. And the guy breaking down the SportsCenter Top 10, because you can't just say the play that happened and move on. You just have to get yourself in trouble, don't you? Has to then go off on a rant about, and goal scored here by defenseman, you know, White Cloud. It's kind of a funny name. What kind of name is White Cloud anyway? It's great if you're toilet paper. And then just continues about his business. Did not realize that is deeply ingrained in the gentleman's Native American heritage, who then called ESPN himself and said, "So anyway, I was watching SportsCenter to look at my goal and I couldn't help but overhear."
Well, so again, so much of our opinions, mine in particular, is based on where you live. And I grew up in Western Wyoming. I grew up right here in this valley. We're not far from the Wind River Indian Reservation. We travel through it and around it for games. We do games inside of it. We do games on the outside. It's just, I guess what I'm saying is we have an interaction on a regular basis with Native athletes. And that is just such an ignorant thing to say. Because even us from, like I said, mayonnaise white Wyoming, that's just it's just an ignorant opinion. There's a lot of names in Wyoming, even at the prep level, mm-hmm. that are quite well known for announcers like us. For example, I'll just throw this one out. There is a family in Fremont County. They are amazing runners, and their last name is Hermany Horses. So it's like Caleb Hermany Horses just won the cross country championship for. Really? You're going to bust on White Cloud? Come on, man.
I was about to say, I am praying. I am absolutely just hoping with all my heart that the guy doing it, who, you know, you could tell just from his breakdown. I mean, he works for ESPN anyway. Sports.
Exactly.
He didn't know hockey. So what I am really hoping for, desperately hoping for, is he didn't even know that the guy was Native American, and he just simply thought he was being a dick to some random person. So,
but my point is, you know, you and I work in a very small market, but there's things that I would never do, even in my very small market. You are at the pinnacle.
Oh, and I was
these people are at the pinnacle of broadcasting. There are thousands of people who want that job, who have college degrees and experience, and they're pushing for it. You don't get to make those mistakes. And if you are, you're not nearly as pro as I thought you were.
Give me
a shot at it, man.
Do you remember?
At least when I'm an asshole, I do it on the podcast.
I don't know if you remember this, but during football season, I came back. I think I made a list. I had 3 of the funniest names that I had to broadcast this season. I won't name them on air, which is unfortunate because they are just high school kids. So I'm not going to just start naming people.
I was
people,
just going to say, where are you going with this?
But yeah, I happened to, and I had to just sit there and just say their name during the whole thing. And not giggle to myself every time. And I'm like, 3 of these? Really? And every time, it was like the first name was intended to set up that the last name, they came together to form a joke.
Oh, okay. So like we work with a gentleman named Duke Dance.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had, they were having a baby a few years ago, he and his wife, you mm-hmm. know, as people tend to do. And so we actually had like a, we co-host a morning show together, and we were kicking around the funny names of what should we name Duke's next kid. And so like there was, you know, Tango, and I mean, we had, so basically just people making fun of the last name Dance.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, there were some funny ones there.
Yeah, there were three really hilarious ones during the Cokeville football season that,
well, I did see one.
I just had to simply just swallow them. I can't believe it.
I did see one. I can't remember the baseball team. The player's last name is Heim. And someone brought up he missed a go, and on his thing, it's like, what, you know, something like,
Oh, yeah.
The interesting fact about him, it's like missed a golden opportunity to name his daughter Anna.
Yeah,
you know, Anaheim.
It was the Angels were playing.
Yeah.
Oakland, I want to say.
Yeah, anyway, that kind of stuff, fine. It's dad. Like you said, it's a dad joke.
My other favorite
but these other things, you've got to be more aware.
We keep bringing up the Royals. The White Sox are playing the Royals right now. This is the first time I've gotten a real glimpse at them in Kansas City. So their first baseman's name is Pescanino.
Okay.
And it sounds vaguely similar to a mythical beast. So every single time he gets a hit, they have a gentleman in a Sasquatch costume who opens up a door in that giant crown that they have in center field.
Kaufman?
He just walks out. He does a little stroll on the balcony, and he just goes back in. And he only comes out when Pasquantino makes a hit. It's his only job is to walk around like a Sasquatch when Pasquantino gets on base.
I guarantee that's an intern.
He's Sasquatchino. He's Sasquintino.
Squin turn. that stuff's fun. Same thing with like the sausage races in Milwaukee, stuff like that.
I do say that I at least kind of feel like maybe I am on the side of if, that's why I said I'm hoping and I'm praying for this guy's sake that if he didn't know he was a Native American, he's like, well, that's just another white dude. I can make fun of another white dude.
Well,
maybe. I got called touchy a lot. Because my last name is Feely.
Yeah, you're like, whoa, good one. Never heard that before. Yeah. But let's be honest. The other guy's slur is so
that
much.
That one's not quite as that's so much worse.
That one's so much worse.
What? Why did he think that that's what they would have named the league?
Again, people tend to pull back on the whole, well, how old are they? Because there's a certain age. And you know, and I get it. But without getting into too many specifics, my former mother-in-law, who's in her 80s, she would use a term that she thought was PC, that is not, that you would never use. But it's just like, where did you get that from? Where did you get that? That is the nice way of using this. Anyway, my family knows what I'm talking about.
Quite a few announcing gaffes over the weekend. So now we've got our warning training video for those in our profession, Dal. We need to watch it every year.
Well, the only reason I'm being such a, you know, a judgmental Judy about this is because I swear a lot. I know you can't believe that since I've sworn like three times on the podcast. But I've never cursed on the air, at least nothing major. I think I might have let one of the biblical ones go once in 20 years.
I do find it funny that you consider yourself to be someone that swears a lot. That tells me that you haven't left the Star Valley all that many times.
Oh, I have.
Okay.
And I understand there's people who use swearing every other word.
As someone who came from Northeastern Illinois and then St. Louis.
I guess what I'm trying to say is when I first started doing radio, my brothers said, you're not going to, it's like, have fun. You're not going to last a week with the idea that, you know, the FCC is going to say, you can't, you know, get rid of that guy. And now I'm going on 20 years. And so which also was a sticking point with my ex-wife because she hated profanity.
Your one trip to Kansas City away from being... Because you remember it was
Let me just finish this.
Okay.
My ex-wife, that was a sticking point for her because she hated profanity. And me not swearing on the air was proof to her that I could not do it if I wanted to.
Someone pointed out that not only was this N-word drop in Kansas City, I don't know if you remember, I think it was 2 years ago, the guy who was like Fox's number two NFL announcer, he's also the Reds announcer.
Yep.
And he called Kansas City the another slur capital of America, which, by the way, is an interesting take to begin with, because I didn't even think Kansas City was known for its pride events or pride this
or
that.
The only phrase I've ever heard used in that way is on Blazing Saddles. If you're a fan of that movie, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
But anyhow, that was in Kansas City. Dal, you are one trip to Kansas City away from being done.
That's interesting, because that's my sister's, like, one of her favorite cities. She is a Chiefs and Royals fan. The K is, like, her favorite baseball park.
It's that giant K of in center field. It's just the people that are there to announce, they just, like, autofill two more. And then they can't help themselves.
Oh, man. But I just... Yeah. So, yeah, our sensitivity training video is now ready to go.
It's just all going to be at Kauffman Stadium. It's just a whole reel.
Aaron, if you'd have told me we would be 50 minutes into the podcast and we haven't even talked about the XFL championship yet, I would have said you're a liar. But we haven't, and we need to, because your Arlington Renegades...
They're going to try to go 500 on the season, baby.
They have stolen a spot in the championship game to play my... more than worthy DC Defenders. Ugh. And I'll be honest, I'm scared of this game because I just keep
assuming you see what's happening in the NBA and NHL playoffs.
I just keep assuming my team's going to win. But if they don't, I'm going to be like, that sucks.
Well, you know what? What the heck? It'll be back again next year. There's only 18. Here's the thing about leagues like this. It probably does sting a little less to lose a championship or this and that, being that there is only 8 teams at the moment, because it's not like there's 32. It's not like you're the Eagles and you're like, I mean, like statistically, it could be 16 to 32 years based on odds before we get back here again. I mean, like DC could go to 5 of these in a row. We don't know.
I'm trying to see, is there a bonus?
There is, for winning the championship. There's a financial bonus for the players.
To me, I mean, let's be honest. That's what this league's about. They're not making a lot of money. In fact, I've got it right here. Base salary is $59,000 for the XFL. They get paid $5,000 per game. They get $1,000 for every win. And again, there's a bonus. So the bottom line is, especially for guys like former NFL players who find themselves in the XFL now, where maybe you got millions of dollars and now you're getting thousands of dollars, I'm assuming that looms large for you.
A little bit.
If you get what is the bonus? Because it's not popping up here right away.
I want to say it was $15,000 per player.
Wow. That's pretty good.
That is pretty. I mean, they got that Dwayne Johnson money.
There is part of me that wishes it was not in the Alamo Dome, though, because I think I just don't know how many tickets are going to sell.
True.
I think it would have been better if one of the teams would have hosted it.
Although, I'll say this, we didn't really care for the hub in the USFL last year.
Yeah, I hated it, actually.
The one thing that they did was that the championship game was at the Hall of Fame Stadium in Canton, Ohio, after every game had been played in Birmingham all year, and they actually sold out the Canton Stadium last year for the championship game.
Oh, okay, here it is. It's 10,000.
Okay, 10,000.
Oh, wait, no, that's the USFL.
I'm sure it's similar. I think it is 15,000.
Okay. Still, anyway.
In that general range.
But I even remember, America's Game, which we both love a lot from NFL Films.
Do we get an America's Game episode if Arlington wins the championship?
I doubt it. But... I remember,
come on, HBO.
But one of my favorite ones is the 82 Redskins, and they win, and Joe Theismann, Russ Grimm, are some of the players that are on there that they're talking. Doc Walker, and they're talking to him, and Theismann brings up, it's like, you know, we didn't make as much then as they do now. And so back then you got 50 grand. If you like, so for us, and you can hear him in this thing, you know, in the huddle, it's like, this is for 50 grand and a big bleeping ring. And so, yeah, I mean, let's be honest. It's a lot of money.
Notre Dame legend, it's, Joe Theismann.
It's a lot of money. You know, it's not quite as much here for this, but it's also not quite as long of a season. But it's, you know, 15 grand. I mean, that's an average American's monthly 3 month salary.
I do appreciate, from my Arlington perspective, DC, the storylines are very clear. Our best team try to win. That's kind of, I mean,
yeah.
That's really the whole DC story this season is best team, LOL at the rest of you. That's kind of been, and their fans have been funny. Like, everyone loves those DC fans. Battlehawk fans got famous for being the ones that sold the most tickets, and DC fans got famous because they were doing very funny things in the stands. Well,
they also sold a lot of tickets.
They did. They were the second highest.
But you're right. The beer cup snake and the lemons on the field. I mean, you had people dressing up as lemons in that end zone. That is awesome.
I know this isn't the fans themselves, but it just added to it to me that the seating was built vertically.
Yeah.
Instead of horizontally, they just built up instead of putting seats on one of the sidelines. It just made the stadium look funny. The fans were all fun. You talk about fans were coming to these games dressed up. You had the whole section in Seattle that would wear full-sized bodysuits to look like fuzzy dragons.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That whole thing going.
The lemons in D.C. It was fun. I'm hoping people show up in San Antonio for this championship game. For Arlington, though, they made a huge deal during that Houston game about these things, and we'll see if they continue to make a huge deal during the championship game or if we're currently down by 74, so they just don't bother.
Well, it's going to boil down to, can the defenders run the ball? Mm-hmm. And if the answer is yes, they're going to win that game because that's what their whole offense is based on. That's why they picked that guy, number one overall, running back.
And Arlington's Abrams. Big thing is that they haven't actually been that. I mean, they were league average, I think, in yards and points allowed. So they actually do give up some points and some yards defensively. But they led the XFL in takeaways and interceptions.
Well, that's
so their whole thing is, oh, dang it, you completed a pass, you completed a pass, you completed a pass. And, oh, you underthrew that one by a millimeter. Guess it's my ball now, idiot.
Well, that is the great equalizer, so. Anyway, that game is
the Saturday, I believe.
Saturday,
5:30 our time.
This says 8 Eastern, which would be 6. So okay, yeah, 5:30 must be pregame.
Okay, so 6 o'clock our time should be fun. That they kept talking about, you know, the XFL. Its big marketing thing was the League of Second Chances. That's what they wanted. You know, they did that whole documentary series, Player 54.
I'm only going to believe that if you start to see these players get picked up by the NFL, which is happening to some degree.
I don't know if you've been following it. There are certain social media accounts that are literally keeping track of all the...
Okay.
Pearson from, I think, Seattle had 5 that have been invited to camps.
Like this Abrams kid for the Defenders.
He'll be in a camp.
You would think so. I mean, I would hope so.
The only thing is we don't know how many Renegades or Defenders will be yet because legally...
They're still playing.
Yeah, they're not allowed to be tampered with yet. But yeah, I believe Seattle had like 5. San Antonio had 3. St. Louis had like 6 players that got invited to camps. Hilariously enough, Josh Gordon's still not one of those players.
He's had enough. He's like the Art Howe of the NFL. He's had a lot of chances.
Which is the only... problem with that is that now we know Seattle is just going to have the best receiver in this league for like the next 5 years. Because, you know, Gordon's not going back to the NFL, and he's just going to play here until he's done playing football.
I don't know. I don't know. Like I said, that is a big drop off.
But you talk about the league of second chances, and they kept talking about it. Arlington went 0-2 against Houston in the regular season. Oopsie daisies, league of second chances. They were 4-6. First of all, poor St. Louis fans. Their team was 7-3.
They really do deserve more than they got, but guess what? That's sports.
4-6. Louis Perez as well. I don't know if you followed that whole ordeal. Arlington had no quarterback. Our quarterback situation was terrible all season. They bring in Louis Perez, who they call Captain Spring League, because he has played in every spring league of football that has existed.
That's awesome.
He was in the AAF. He was in the original XFL. He was in the Spring League. He was in the USFL. He played for the Generals. Took him to the playoffs last year before they were officially your official USFL team. Then he shows up this year in the XFL, and he starts the year as the Vipers quarterback. And the Vipers are terrible, so they just decide to cut him. They're like, I don't know, let's see what these other guys are doing. So Arlington picks him up in like week 7. And the Renegades' points per game and passing yards per game have both over doubled from week 7 to 10 than they were on average per game from weeks 1 through 6.
And it does make sense that these spring leagues, you could see rapid improvement, because it's not like they had a lot of time with these guys leading up to the season. They had like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or a month, something along those lines. It wasn't very long. And so now you're actually maybe getting a little chemistry. Maybe you've adjusted some of your concepts and they're working better. So yeah, this is still anybody's game.
I enjoyed ESPN calling him Louis Playoffs. Because they own the rights to the XFL, so they have to promote it like they do the rest of their sports.
I like Captain Spring League better.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but it was just because he played that one game against Houston, and it was the best game he'd played all year. He threw like 3 touchdowns, perfect quarterback rating, completed, I want to say it was 82% of his passes. It was ridiculous. He had a 300-yard game. They're like, Louis Playoffs. It was one game.
One thing we got to touch on, since we talked so much about slurs in this.
Oh no.
We didn't even talk about Bob Huggins. He got fined and he got his salary reduced $1 million. This is actually new. He got busted for saying this anti-gay slur on the air. That's always the key, folks.
On the air is usually the killer.
He used to coach Cincinnati, now he's coaching in West Virginia. But yeah, they're actually they're reducing his salary from announced here today, Wednesday, from $4.2 to $3.2 million.
I must say, that was the other thing, too.
Here's my issue with this, though. Where does that $1 million go? Does it go to help these organizations?
I'm guessing he just doesn't get paid that, and the school just puts it in the pocket.
So it's just, to me, it's kind of a meaningless thing. Now, if you're saying, we're going to take $1 million of his, and he agrees because he's come out and apologized for it, and denounced what he did, and then you're going to say, okay, this is going to go towards, you know, something that's going
to
help.
Well, I think all the really, it's really just meant to be a punishment.
I know, but same thing happens in the NBA and all these other pro leagues. Everybody gets fined for something, and then you never know where the fines go. I think it just goes to the slush fund of the executives, and that bothers me.
Oh, the NFL is actually pretty open. You can go online, and you can actually see.
I just think if you're going to do this $1 million, then do it so that the $1 million gets used in a beneficial way for people who are at risk, you know, suicide prevention. Even if you kept it blanket like that and didn't even link it with the LGBT community, because that's the bottom line, is people are at risk for suicide. And anyway, I just, not to go back and be all serious, but it's like you play this game to be the social game, and then nothing ever gets better.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, who cares if a guy who's worth $100 million now only has $99 million?
I still also can't forget that one of the other reasons people were mad that the Blackhawks were like the most evil organization ever to have gotten the pick was the fact that the Blackhawks halfway through the season decided to cancel their remaining Pride nights because of player protests. And people were like, how dare you? Well, you absolute cat. So they're not going to wear the rainbow jersey. Who cares?
To me, it's all about what's in your heart. What are you doing?
The players didn't want, mostly because half the players on the Blackhawks are Russian, and it's literally illegal if they put on that jersey.
Definitely more extenuating circumstances for sure.
But yeah, and you know, you got it open there, Dal. You were following the XFL kind of closely, and then he closed it. He had the USFL tab open there for a second.
Do you want it open?
No, I don't need it open. I got everything memorized.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
No, I don't actually.
So, yeah, USFL, just touching on that, week five.
There's only one remaining undefeated
team. The Maulers and the Panthers, the Gamblers and the Stallions. My Generals, 2-2.
And in first place.
Taking on the Stars, the Showboats taking on the undefeated Aaron Feelys. I mean, the Breakers.
I find it very funny that last year the USFL was kind of marketed as a developmental league. Like, yeah, okay, you didn't get drafted into the NFL. Come here, young 21, 22-year-olds. Play in our league for a year, and then you'll get a call to an NFL camp if you play well. That was kind of... And the Breakers had a couple of those players, and we went 7-3, and we went to the playoffs, and we lost to Birmingham, and it was very sad. And then this year, the Breakers said, ah, you know what might be more fun than that? Instead of just having a team that is essentially a college, I don't know, like, C all-star team? I mean, these are the guys that didn't go to the NFL, college kids. They went, you know what? Bring in a quarterback that just won the Grey Cup in the Canadian League, and then also bring in his running back from that league, Wes Hills. They played together on Toronto last year. That was the leading passer in the Canadian League, the leading rusher in the Canadian League. They won the Canadian championship game. It's known as the Grey Cup. They come down here. First of all, Bethel Thompson, our quarterback's 34.
Yeah.
He's not trying to get to the NFL. He's just here to win the championship. So he leads this league in passing now. Wes Hills is on pace to be the first 1,000-yard rusher because it's a 10-game. Last year, the leading rusher had, I think, 700-something yards. The leading touchdown scorer last year was Victor Bolden of the Generals. He had nine rushing touchdowns. Wes Hills has played 4 games. He's at 8. And then we have the leading receiver in the league is our tight end, Sage Surratt, who was in the USFL last year. So that's more normal, I guess. But I find it funny. And then they fired their head coach from last year. They let him go. So they bring in John DeFilippo, who you might remember from NFL. He was the quarterback's coach and passing game coordinator for the Super Bowl Eagles.
I don't remember where he was at, but I remember that he was in the NFL.
He was the Eagles passing game coordinator when they won the Super Bowl against New England. Then he went on to be the Vikings offensive coordinator with Kirk Cousins, putting up pretty decent numbers.
Yeah, he has for his whole career.
And now he's the head coach of the New Orleans Breakers. So they bring in an NFL caliber offensive coach. They bring in a Canadian league champion quarterback and the running back.
That tells me credit the Orlando owners.
New Orleans.
Why do I keep calling them Orlando?
I keep doing that.
Credit the New Orleans owners.
Who were told not only, and this I thought was a little exciting, but I'm going to need more friends, Dal, if we're going to keep doing the every team as a representative for the t-shirt bet.
Gotcha.
Or maybe you can change teams next year and we'll give the Generals to someone else. If you don't care for the Generals. But they're in first place right now.
I don't know.
Can't complain too hard.
I kind of like their logos and stuff.
Yeah. Depending on who joins. Anyway, the USFL has issued several patents and copyrights recently. And have already publicly stated they're looking into expansion either next year or the year after. Now, next year, they've already confirmed that the 8 teams currently playing, they're like, next year, every team in the league will have its own stadium. We're going to that. So I don't know if they would expand the same year they're also doing that, because then you go from, you know, you had one stadium, now you're at 4, which is still, you know, it's okay, it's still unideal. Why is Philadelphia playing its home games in Detroit?
Exactly. You're telling me there's no football fields in Philadelphia?
It's got to just be we're saving money type of
thing. Sure.
So then next year you're expanding from 4 to 8. But if you expand, then rather than going from 4 to 8, you're now going from 4 to 12 or 4 to 16. That's a slightly steeper jump.
Yeah, I don't know.
The USFL talking about expansion. That could be fun. Remember the original USFL, I think, was 16 teams, wasn't it?
Well,
back in 83 to 85?
It only lasted like 4 weeks, but I was excited when, what was it, the AAF?
Had Salt Lake,
and I was already making plans to go down. There was a Wyoming lineman, Ryan Cummings, was on the team, and I was going to go down, and they were going to be my team, and the league folded before I got to go to my game.
Yeah, and I straight up, that's what the USFL kind of told everyone was why they did the hub last year, was to save money. They're like, we're not falling for that one again. Because that was what they actually stated was what ran them out of money. They forgot to budget for airfare for the players and travel.
Which is really?
Like, they budgeted for salaries.
How can you forget?
That's a professional sports league.
That is like the biggest, like, it's like one of the biggest expenses you have.
Or you can just go the WNBA route, I guess, and tell them to, you know what, figure it out.
Or they fixed that smaller.
They fixed it this
year. Or you can go smaller on your national footprint and just ride the bus, which they have opted against.
I find that so funny, though. They're like, yeah, well, what happened was when we were doing our financial planning, we budgeted for salaries and for stadium rental, and we forgot the travel in between the stadiums.
Whoever that is that's saying that should never get another job. Because I am publicly and famously bad at math. And I would never make that mistake.
That's not even the math.
Yeah.
That's just forgetting part of the business.
That's like, oh, whoops.
Oh, you mean they have to actually get to Salt Lake?
It's like, what, were you going to drive them? I'm just going to pile them in the back of the Buick and we were going
to
go.
Well, if you forgot to budget at all, then you didn't even budget for that, right? Yeah, you didn't even put gas money in there.
Ridiculous.
So that was funny. But yeah, looking at potential expansion in the near future.
So as you go out there, folks, into this next week, please take our advice, heed our advice. Budget for travel this summer. It could cost you your league.
And also,
the more you know.
Could you imagine, by the way, if your DC Defenders hadn't stolen Davin Bellamy from the New Orleans Breakers because he got a stupid NFL job in the middle of the two?
Yeah.
Officially making him a spring free. We'd be 4-0, and we'd have the best pass rusher in
spring. Well, you
spring.
Don't.
Did you also hear, by the way, the talks coming from, and I don't know how rapidly we're wanting to wrap this up here. We are at 110, I guess. But some of the talks from players of the leagues that then grew into media heads, and now the ownership of each league has said, well, at the moment, that's not on the table, but if there's a huge push for it, we'd certainly consider it in the future, and we'd maybe have to figure out scheduling, and we'd probably have to create a merger. And the talk was the XFL and the USFL playing a spring league's champion game after both champions are crowned. The issue, of course, being the XFL plays its season. They would have 3 months off and then be expected to go play whoever won the USFL and go, I hope you guys all stayed in playing shape. You haven't played a game in 3 months. Now go play the league championship game.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
So they'd have to. That's why they said if it ever happens, the ownerships of each league would probably come together and create a corporate merger. They would probably still schedule it as we'll have an XFL and a USFL, and they'll just play each other until we have two champions, and then the champions will play each other.
Okay.
But they would corporately be co-owned. They'd all
interesting
be merged. The only issue I have with it is that then they'd have to play at the same time. And honestly, for both leagues, I think cannibalizing each other's ratings when the ratings are already in the thousands, occasionally the low millions.
I think it's way too early to be talking about that kind of stuff.
Probably is.
I think you're just now, they need to build on these cities getting the attendance that they have. They need to build on that, and then they need to build on the cities that didn't get the top in attendance and encourage them to do better.
By the way, speaking of attendance, shout out once again. They did it week one, and I said, well, if they can keep that up, they did it 2 weeks in a row. And poor Michigan was 2-0 on the road. Then they get these awesome crowds at Ford Field. I don't know if you've been seeing that, but they've been selling out the lower level. They've been in the mid-20,000s for both their home games, which I said, if that stayed, that would make them the second highest attended average of any of the St. Louis being one. Then it would be them. And then I want to say it's D.C. and then Birmingham. But yeah, they've brought out shout out to those Michigan fans up in Detroit.
Got nothing else to do.
Yeah, I mean, showing up.
Good job.
And the Panthers, again, like I said, they started 2-0 in the two road games. Then they get these great turnouts from their fans, and they lose both their home games. I will reward your fans for. I also must say, I do at least enjoy what Michigan did, because I think every hub city should do this, Dal. If we're going to have stupid hubs anyway to save money, you can at least incentivize some fans to get them there. I thought Ford Field was doing a real smart thing. Anyone that bought tickets to the Panthers game also got the Philadelphia game that week for free.
I think that's actually the niche that these spring leagues can build. You know, I always think back of the whole nostalgia of going to a baseball game or something, or a minor league something or other.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reason you go is because it's cheap entertainment, or at least that's what it's supposed to be. Nothing is cheap now, and I hate that.
Well,
and so
I think tickets for this are something at like $15.
Yeah, no, so I guess that's what I'm saying. That is, I think, what these leagues should be building on is come and have an afternoon with us. Mm-hmm. You can afford it. It'll be fun. And by the way, here's a bargain. You know,
I also appreciate, by the way, the fact that we all knew that the league existed in the 80s for a little bit, and we, you know,
sure. Oh,
and they just slapped that name on this new version. But I do appreciate that we occasionally get fun things like Jim Kelly coming out in his Houston Gamblers jersey for the Gamblers home opener to fire up the crowd.
That actually is pretty cool.
Whatever it was. I mean, because Houston is one of the teams, they have to play their home games in Memphis. So it was like 600 people there. Jim Kelly does not have to come out here to entertain 600 people.
He's like,
yeah, sure, I'm bored. I'll come fire up the 600 people that are in attendance.
If I'm Jim Kelly and they offered me some primo Houston Gambler retro gear, I'm in. Maybe his stuff's
old. Maybe he kept his jersey. Maybe that literally was his jersey.
I'll bet he's got some stuff, but I'm just saying, it's like, hey, I need some new stuff. Oh, no problem, Jim. All right, yeah, I'll make it out there.
I think they had Herschel Walker. Was that one of the Michigan games? He did the coin flip.
Now they need to get Steve Young. Obviously, Reggie White's not going to show up because he's now passed away.
Unfortunate.
But yeah, they've had some big names go through the USFL. Fun stuff.
And you know what? Maybe McLeod Bethel Thompson, maybe if he goes 10-0 and he leads the league in passing and he wins us a title, maybe he will end up in a camp somewhere. Maybe he will be the next legend that goes from USFL to NFL. Now he's going to have a time limit on that. He's only going to have like two NFL seasons in him because he's 34, but...
No.
There's listen,
no
he has
way.
A spectacular beard.
Yeah, so did Ryan Fitzpatrick.
And Ryan Fitzpatrick had quite the lengthy NFL run, didn't he?
Right, yeah, over about 15 teams.
But was it fun?
I don't know. I was looking forward to the fun, but he got hurt in the first quarter of the game of the season we had him. So,
did I ever tell you my A.J. Feely story from him coming to the camp? That was at my high school.
Yeah, and he went to his trunk and just...
And he said, what team? When he said, you want... You know, because I told him, I'm like, yeah, my last name's Feely.
That is so crazy.
I'm like, my name's Aaron, so my first initial is A, so people call me AJ as a joke. And he's like, oh, that's funny. Hey, you want a jersey? I said, sure.
That is seriously one of the coolest stories.
He goes, what team?
Yeah, he had a whole trunk full of jerseys from his career. That's cool, man. That's a great story.
Anyhow, I think we've wrapped up all the stories for this week, so you can catch us here on the Unsportsmanlike Conduct podcast on Spotify, on YouTube, and at svinews.com/podcasts. See you guys next time.